CliffCentral.com.
It's Friday morning, CliffCentral.com.
Yes!
All right. What a way to start your morning. It is Friday, which is fantastic, but I don't know if Fridays mean what they used to mean, to be perfectly honest. Good morning, everybody. Yes, we have the full Friday crew here this morning. We have Bulelo and Fundo, who are running the studio. We have Leanne Moll, who's in her... Which room in your house is that? Your office?
Yes, it is. It's office stroke cat feeding center.
That's right.
So if you hear a little jingle, it's the cats eating their breakfast.
Well, the other day, your one cat moved right in front of the camera and was sitting right there. It was actually very, very cool. And Sia Sangweni is in his house. Look, there is the Leanne Moll cat.
Oh,
fantastic. All right, and there's the cat feeding center. Look at that. It's got three bowls. By the way, your cats eat out of china bowls. That's amazing.
No, that's just because I've been too lazy to pack the dishwasher.
And then as soon as you turn the camera back, it's just like just tits. That's just it. Like that's always the place it starts and ends from.
Karen.
Cats and tits. That's what I'm about.
That's you, cats and tits. That's not a bad thing to be known for. There are worse things.
Okay.
Morning, everybody. How's everyone doing? How's everyone's lockdown going? Are we still on the this is okay, we can handle this track, or
no.
do we need an intervention?
Yeah, no, we're past that.
Really?
Yeah, I'm hearing people unraveling around me. Things like, please, can we have just a Zoom meeting so that I can see your face?
Uh oh. But are you handling it? I mean, are you together at the moment?
Yeah, no, I'm all good. I'm actually feeling great.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm happy to be in my pajamas this morning.
Yes, we'll talk about that.
Very, very fluffy gown.
Yeah, we decided we would get dressed up for you like we did a couple of Fridays ago when we dressed formally. This morning we thought we'd dress super informally in our pajamas. Sia Sangweni, are you okay? Are you handling lockdown still?
Rather, Gareth, don't you mean dressed down as opposed to dressed up? Because this is so convenient.
I'll explain why I feel it's like dressing up a little bit.
Right. But to be honest, understandably, we all have, you know, highs and lows, and I had a bit of a low a couple of days ago that I just properly accepted. I'm way better now, but you know, I was like, you know, let me just wallow in self-pity a little.
Yeah, you kind of have to do that as well. You have to let yourself go down that path, because if you just pretend it's not there and you ignore it, I think you actually end up doing yourself a lot more harm, because you're not even acknowledging it. You're not accepting where you are.
Yeah. But I am the prince of petty. Let me just set the scene of what happened. I was in my room in the dark, switched off all of the lights.
Oh, God.
I had one lone candle in the corner.
You are so dramatic.
Because of hard lockdown times, I just had a tiny bit of dessert wine that
I just used some port. Like, you are the most dramatic person in the world. And even in that moment where you're alone in the dark, you're actually crying out for attention.
And then I created my own pity playlist.
Oh, my God. You went that deep, huh?
That's outrageous.
Yes.
What kind of songs? Give me one song on your pity playlist. All by myself.
Stevie Wonder's I Never Dreamed You'd Leave in Summer.
Oh, you know that song? Oh my God. All right. Okay, that's frightening.
Yes.
I mean, if I didn't know you, I'd have you certified.
Then it went to, like, John Mayer's Dreaming with a Broken Heart.
Oh, you love this. This is like a mud bath for a hippo.
Billy Ocean's They'll Be Sad Songs
to make you cry. love yes. songs often do. Oh, wow.
Did you actually cry?
No, but you know, that was a good 40 minutes. And I thought, get out of it, get out of your own head. I went back downstairs and I was okay. I moved past it.
Bulela, are you handling it?
I am, and I had a great meeting to your message earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Of you as, I hate the word mentor, whatever you would call that. And he said, you have to let yourself feel it. Yeah. Like you've just said, I don't want to echo what you said. But it made me feel a lot better about ebbing and flowing between good and bad, you know, not just always trying to put on a strong face as a man should or whatever.
Yeah, there's this bizarre notion that optimistic, happy people are always optimistic and happy. That would make you a psychopath by definition.
Oh, I hate optimistic, happy people.
Well, all right, I'll take that personally because I think I am an optimistic, happy person.
Likewise.
But I know what you mean. It can be really annoying. And at the same time, you can't be down in the dumps the whole time because that's just, you know, those people are such energy suckers. So you got to be somewhere in between like all humans are and bounce between them occasionally. And listen, this thing has not been easy. We spoke to that psychologist the other day, Lauren, and she was fantastic. And you got to go and listen to that again if you're not having a great time. She was talking particularly about addicts, Leanne, but she was also talking generally about, you know, loneliness and the effect of that on most of us. And it's really, it's worth listening to. If you haven't heard it, it's definitely one of the things that we've done in the last week that I'm proud of from the point of view that we're probably helping people.
Yeah, true. Shit's real, man.
Shit's getting real. Coronavirus.
Cardi B, the oracle. She really did warn us.
She warned us about everything. She knew. She was living this shit long before we knew what was going on. I love her, and she is still fantastic.
Coronavirus.
That's right.
Coronavirus. I'm telling you,
does this
real.
Mean you're going to go back to all of her real. Old songs and re-look at some of her lyrics?
No, we don't need to do that. She's not Nostradamus. Okay.
All right, maybe she might have something to say, you know, we're in the midst of talking about, you know, a new tummy tuck and buying a new set of teeth.
Yeah, well, that
I'm pushing it.
She's such a fake, and I still can't get over that she stole, while she was whoring, she stole money from one of her Johns. Like, and we laugh about it. We like, yeah, you go, Cardi B. And that's so low. You're a whore, and then you also steal.
Oh my God.
Is being a stripper a whore?
If you're sleeping with your clients, you're not just a stripper.
Or if you're sleeping with your John.
For money. You know what I mean?
I'm so glad these words are coming out of your mouths, not mine. Cause,
do you know what a bottom bitch is? Leanne knows the answer to this. You don't know this. What is a bottom bitch? Do you know?
No, actually.
No, you remember.
Maybe it's because I've never been one.
I used to call you and Mabale my bottom bitches sometimes.
Oh, yes, you did.
You remember? In fact, for a while, you were both saved on my phone as that.
Oh, yes, you did.
Do you remember what it is, though?
Excuse me?
No. Come on.
It's a proper gangster term.
Yeah, it's a gangster term. You don't know what this is?
Remind us.
Okay, so I would refer to you guys as bottom bitches because a bottom bitch in gangster talk... is the woman who you rely on that you don't rent out. It's like a prostitute who sits atop of the hierarchy. She's the most important of the prostitutes that works for a particular pimp. So if I'm the PIMP and you're my bottom bitch, that's the one I look after. You've probably been with me the longest and the most consistent, and you might even make the most money. So
I wonder why it's called bottom bitch then.
Well, yeah, one would assume you're the top.
When you're at rock bottom, that's the one you need the most.
Ah, yes.
You guys are so not into how Ebonics and the language works.
Apologies.
Yeah, we ain't on a screech.
So Cardi B must have been someone's bottom bitch for a while. Okay, we're wearing pajamas today. And this was an idea we had, I think, earlier this week, and we just decided we'd do a little dress-up, mostly because I think we just need to find things to do in lockdown that make us feel normal. You know, you're not dressing up for people.
I remember once we did the show in our pajamas from the 5FM studio.
Yes.
And we thought it was very funny until we realized now that it's an actual reality.
Yeah. And then we had to walk out of the building at like 9, 10 o'clock in the morning in pajamas right. and slippers. I mean, it's fine when you come in because there's no one else around except the security guard. And then on your way out, everyone else is coming into work, and they're like, what the fuck? They looked at us like these are people who escaped from a mental hospital. Leanne was wearing these fluffy – Mabali as well, they were wearing these fluffy little slippers.
Yes.
With like bunny
– Well, now it's fashionable to leave your home and walk around the streets in your pajamas and slippers.
I saw two girls doing that yesterday. They just walked past my house wearing like fluffy slippers and a dressing gown, and I thought, oi, 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 humanity's sliding, man. This was at 4 in the afternoon. But it is getting cold, so that's one of the reasons to wear pajamas. Sia is wearing his famous robe, the one that he usually wears nothing under and frightens the neighbors.
Don't make me sound like a pervy peeping Tom.
No, they're peeping at you, so they're the pervs. But you don't give a shit. When you're at home on your own, you've told us already. You just sit there, and sometimes your gown falls open. And
excuse me, Leanne?
Let all the jewels hang out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
See her on display.
But I must
That's
say,
the Gareth, show from my balcony every afternoon.
No. Oh, my so goodness. Sia's wearing his white robe, his famous white robe, but he's put on some stuff underneath because it's just too cold, even in Durban. I mean, here it's 9 degrees where I am. And Leanne is wearing her very fluffy. It's like a velour dressing gown.
It actually makes my eyes kind of want to close when I'm wearing it. It's
oh
that
God.
Cozy.
Oh, you could sleep in that thing and you could be thrown out into the wild and you'd survive.
Yes. Your pajamas are very fancy.
Oh, yes. No, these, I've got a story for you about these. So
those are proper pajamas.
Yeah. My grandfather must have said it to me when I was an impressionable age. He's like, boy, you should always have a tuxedo. You should always have, which is made to measure. You must never just buy one off the peg. And you should have a pair of good pajamas. Because it's embarrassing if a man is woken up in the night by the police or somebody and they walk outside and they're not wearing good pajamas. You know, if you have to get your gun and rescue maidens, I don't know what he was thinking. But anyway, so I remember.
It made its impact.
Yeah, well, I remember somewhere in my early 30s, which is way too young to be wearing pajamas. I mean, I don't wear pajamas. I sleep in a T-shirt and like underwear. It's even in winter. You know, I can't sleep in more than that. And by the way, people who wear socks in bed are disgusting.
100, here, here.
Right? Disgusting.
What?
No, animals. I wear socks in bed. It's
so uncomfortable.
Ugh.
Animals.
Yeah, wait.
You need to be put on a leash.
So I wear this. For the show this morning. These are made by a guy. You can actually look this up. They're the finest pajama makers in the world. I thought, all right, well, my grandfather means this, so I've got to, you know, the two articles of clothing in my cupboard. It's got to be
two autumns.
Two autumns, eh? Sorry, I was possessed by the spirit of Danny Kaye for a minute, but let's get back to it. All right, so I put these on this morning. I haven't worn these more than twice, three times in my life, but they're there. I know that I'll wear them when I'm an old man one day, and they fit beautifully because they're made for me.
They're so lovely. They're navy blue, and it looks like they have a little bit of white piping.
They have white piping, but it's almost got like, you know how those jackets that Mao and Stalin used to wear with the round collar?
Oh, yes, they're round.
It's got a rounded collar, and it's like a jacket. I mean, it's not really, it's got these big white buttons, and it's got little white dots on it as well, and then stripes under that. So it's almost like a diaper pattern underneath. But they're finely made. I mean, it's stitched beautifully, and they're proper English pajamas.
So you reference Mao and Stalin. I'll bring it to 2020 with a pop culture reference. Very Hugh Hefner.
Yeah, Hugh Hefner, you see, he wore these kinds of things because he was of that age, and so was my grandfather. That was their generation where you went to sleep in pajamas. And
even if you were likely to have your dick out during the night.
Yeah, you'd have pajamas, but you'd take, you know. anyway, so I've got these in the cupboard, and I honestly haven't worn them more than 3 times. And when you said pajamas, I thought, well, let me have something with an interesting story. And you know, pajamas, the word comes from Persian. It was
the word, it comes from the word Persian.
No, the Persian language.
Oh, yes.
And then it was obviously adopted by the Hindis in Western India, and they have the word pajama, and the Persian pajama, where it comes from, means leg clothing. And Muslims in India used to wear pajamas, which were like loose trousers that were tied at the waist. But the whole look comes from that part of the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
So it's got an interesting history. And obviously the the English came into India, and then they copied this stuff, and they decided, oh, that'll make fine sleepwear. And they decided to. So this stuff's made by a guy called Derek Rose, and you can look him up. He's like the pajama guy. That was his whole. He doesn't sell anything else. It's just pajamas.
Wow.
Very particular.
Derek Rose.
Mbulelo, in my mind, you sleep in like a bulletproof vest and running shorts.
Yeah.
And you have combat boots on the side of your bed.
I do not. You know, Gareth, when I look at your pajamas,
no.
As somebody who has no fashion taste or anything like that, one thing I do admire, though, is when I see craftsmanship, I look at your pajamas and I'm like, God, that is wonderful.
There's a pocket.
If I died, that's what I want to look like.
Yeah. I mean, if I died in these, it would be acceptable. I wouldn't be embarrassed, you know. And in fact, I think one day if I know I'm going to die, I'm just going to quickly get dressed in these. And then when they find the body, they can go like, oh. What a dignified gentleman this was.
So if you marry a woman that wants to poison you, just say, oh, hold on, Mary, get the poison pajamas.
If you intend to poison me, I should put on my pajamas so that when they find my cold, lifeless body, they can at least say that he dressed well. Yeah, it is beautifully made. And like Leanne said, there's piping and there's a little pocket in the top. And I think you're meant to wear it over a shirt. But I don't know. And then you're also meant to wear it with those fancy slippers. You know the ones, the velvet slippers?
Yes.
That have a satin inside the foot that's in sort of a, almost like it's been stitched like a duvet inside there. That's how you know.
Can I just tell you who does comfort?
Who does comfort?
Like nobody else. And I don't know if this is true for everybody, but black mothers do comfort like no one else. They will wear, my mom has like incredibly comfortable pants. Then she has a fluffy blanket where you have to come and tuck her feet underneath. And then she's got what you call slippers. I don't know if it's only black people who know this. She calls it amapushin. You don't, if you're black, you don't call it slippers.
Amapushin.
You push in. Yeah. And then she has a durag.
Yes.
Which
yes.
is like, are wild with comfort, especially in winter.
Well, you know,
maybe it's just me.
I sometimes see them on the news, and you see like they've gone to some place, and there's like all these black moms standing outside, and it's usually early in the morning, so they've really just woken up, and there's like a news crew there and bothering them, and then you'll see one of these black moms come up exactly the way you've just described them, and they're looking infuriated that someone is pushing a camera in their face, and they're like shouting and screaming, but they look super fucking warm.
Exactly.
But it's also, what the funniest for me was, is my mom, you know, she's in a wheelchair and she has a carer. And Queen, her carer, whenever my mom asks for
Queen.
A fluffy, yeah, Queen. Well, we call it Queen.
Queen.
And whenever my mom asks for a fluffy gown and blanket in her wheelchair, Queen bursts out laughing and says, teases my mom and says it looks like she's going to sit in the queue for her grant. And then last night the ladies for their grants were queuing and they all had blankets and wheelchairs.
Oh my God. Oh, all right, so we're all dressed up. Oh, listen, quickly, one other piece of housekeeping before we carry on with this morning. And we've got some cool stuff. We've got Sean Sanders from Revix, who's going to tell us about some new and exciting things they're doing, as if they weren't offering you enough already. We obviously like to catch up with Sean. We didn't do that yesterday because they've got this announcement today. So we'll get to that in a moment. But we've got Liesl Tom, who's also been part of the Cliff Central family for a long time, and she's going to talk us through like some of the mental health things that she knows and has learned and might want to impart to us. I think it might be quite handy for anybody, anybody looking at another boring weekend on their own, you know. So get ready for that. That's going to be interesting. And George Meany, of course, joins us on a Friday, so we'll do a little Auto Central pod and plenty of other good stuff too. So lots of that. But the housekeeping I wanted to get to is yesterday I mentioned, and I've never done this before on the show, and it was difficult for me to do because we've got to be so direct these days, you know. We're launching a new podcast series, and I mentioned that we're looking for the right sponsor for this. So somebody who wants to attach their brand or their leadership or their thought leadership, frankly, to a podcast series that we want to do that's going to be different to all the other interviews that we've put together. These essentially are going to be with people all over the world who think differently, people who are able to figure out and help us figure out a way out of this coronavirus lockdown mess and into what the economy might look like, how we can all innovate, how we can think differently about the way that business is going to operate in the time after corona, and where in the world the opportunities lie. So it's really going to be the kind of series that will address the most important questions people have in business in South Africa. And if you're interested in that, and you work for a business that is looking to, you know, to spend some money marketing and advertising themselves, but in a different way, because you're not selling product. No one's interested in buying just product anymore. And if you do advertise that stuff right now, it sounds insensitive and it looks really bad. And Leanne, you know about this too.
Yeah, for sure.
But the reality is, like, we're looking for the right people to back this because we want to build it with them. So if you think that this could be something for your company, I'm not looking for ideas. We've got plenty of guest ideas. We've got lots of subject matter that we want to get into. I mean, I think it's going to be a fascinating discussion, but I'd like it very much to be with the right corporate sponsor and partner. You don't have to be a big business. It doesn't have to cost an arm and a leg, but I'd like to do it right from the start. So we want to build it together. And if you are a serious person and you want to get involved in this, then please let us know. I got loads of emails yesterday, but some of them were from people who had ideas, people who suggesting guests, suggesting themselves. That's all good and well. But the reason I mentioned it on the show and the reason it is like nothing I have done on the show before is because I'm basically saying we're looking for the right sponsor, not for content suggestions. So I just want to make that clear in case it wasn't yesterday.
Not the AA type sponsor, a different sponsor.
No, not that.
Not the one that you knock on at the door in the pouring rain at 2 a.m. crying.
Yeah. Now, that kind of sponsor we're all going to need by the end of lockdown. That's a different kind of sponsor. But if you're interested, please, you know what to do. Gareth@cliffcentral.com. That's GAREth@cliffcentral.com. I got tons of emails yesterday, but only a minority of them, unfortunately, maybe I didn't explain myself properly, were what I was actually aiming at when I brought it up on the show yesterday. All right, so we got lots to talk about today. Bulelo, just a quick update on the gaming front, because obviously during this time, a lot of gamers have been having the time of their lives just because they had time in their lives. And I know that Diablo 2 looks like it's being remastered, Age of Empires, which I have played before, Warcraft, Starcraft have already come out, and I like these strategy games. I'm not a gamer by any stretch of the imagination, but in the first 2 weeks of lockdown, I was playing a game called Total War, which I absolutely love.
What device are you playing these games on?
On my laptop.
Mm. Okay. Yep. Am I considered a gamer because I play Farmville or something like that now?
Sure. Yeah, that's a game.
And those sort of strategy games.
Yeah, you're not real gamers would laugh at you and me. But they have special equipment and plugins, and you know, they've got these earphones. Extraordinary graphics cards in their machines, and they've got massive CPUs, and they've got a complicated setup. Most of the serious gamers,
they've got those special gaming chairs.
Yeah, and sometimes more than one screen, and you know, the guys and girls who take it very seriously, those people are fanatics, and they would not consider us gamers. But I reckon if you play Candy Crush every single day, you're a gamer.
Well, there's people who game, and there are gamers, right? The gamers are millionaires now. The top guys are playing in tournaments that are $20 million. Or I say the top ones. It's like being a soccer player.
Yes, of course. Or whatever. And people watch them on, like, Twitch.
Oh, yeah, no, it's huge. They filled stadiums in South Korea. Stadiums, 40,000-seater stadiums to watch guys play games.
Well,
but what I loved is these games are being redigitized, and Blizzard, of course, who we all know, StarCraft, they've brought the spec.
Yeah, of course, we all know that.
We don't.
Yeah. You just assume everyone knows it. You may have explored the world, every corner of it, in your... how old are you again?
34 now.
In your 34 years, you may have been to every corner of Earth, which it sounds like you have if we, you know, if we bring up... the Punjab, and you're like, oh yes, when I was there back in 2013. And you may know a lot more about philosophy and gaming than us, but don't assume that we know everything.
You know what I love? His O was of genuine surprise.
He was like horrified.
We don't all know.
You fucking rubes, what do you know?
Japanese stadium fingers, but as you were.
Tells you how old I am, because I just presume Blizzard is like Tesla is now. You know, like everybody knows that. He digitized the games. And the only reason I brought it up and it came to my mind, a friend of mine was playing. He played an eight-hour game. And he said at the end of the 8 hours, he forgot he hadn't plugged his laptop in and it bombed. And they were playing for 50,000 rand each.
Refundable.
That is so amateurish, though.
But yeah, I mean, listen, if someone's paying you 50,000 rand to do a job, you make sure your laptop's plugged in.
Leanne.
You hire two people to just, like, run around giving you tea, water, and take away your adult diapers.
No, listen. Yeah. It was 50. Like, you know how friends play blackjack at home? This was a 50,000 rand game. You put in 50,000 rand amongst friends.
Oh my god!
Yes,
okay. Even
that's
worse.
What made it worse.
He didn't just lose out on prize money; he lost his money.
Yeah, his money. Oh, although he's got a coupler. Yeah, he's got disposable income.
No, people take it seriously. I just wanted you to give us an update there because I don't know enough about the world of gaming, but I know that it's this is the perfect time for it. So
yeah, Diablo 2 just came out. So if you love those first person or role playing games, they've just redigitized it.
You and I were complaining about how cold it's getting now.
And yeah, I actually looked on my thermometer here, the weather app. It is 15 degrees.
Oh, Durban, double here. Durban is double the temperature here, and I bet you everyone in Durban is going, oh my God, it's so cold.
Yeah, it still feels very chilly.
It's freezing.
Yeah.
Listen, best you not adapt, because you've got to come back to Joburg at some point.
No.
And it's going to be in the dead of winter.
You're going to be so cold. So, anyway, the reason I bring it up is because more and more people are figuring out that they're probably never going to go back to the office.
Yeah, I was very surprised when my sister even said to me, you know, I actually don't mind this. I'm like, you don't? She says if she had the choice, she would work from home permanently.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to.
I've become much more professional about Zoom meetings and video conferencing. Like, I do it properly. I make sure that I'm on time, you know, dressed decently. Now it's not a game anymore. In the first couple of weeks, it was like a game. Now I have purpose, and when I have a meeting, it's for a reason.
But, you know, there's still those moments of the internet lagging, then someone's kid is in the background, and then you get distracted, like, oh, what do you have in your garden there? And then, you know, we're talking about that for 8 minutes. And, I'm still not feeling like we are all as society just 100% productive, understandably. But if you had the choice then, Leanne Mbulelo, would you permanently work from home?
Absolutely, for me.
No.
Really?
I wouldn't.
I think it saves so much time in terms of travel and traffic and all of that shit.
It does, but I always felt... Because I suppose we could have started Cliff Central like we're doing it now. It was actually, the original idea was just to do our show, and we could have done that from anywhere. You know, we didn't need to be in the same room, thanks to technology. But I like the idea of going into the office, just because when you're at the office, you're in work mode. When mm-hmm. you're at home, you know, you can always go down to your kitchen and make something to eat, and then you could have a nap in the afternoons if you have an hour's gap between meetings.
It's like an accountability thing, really.
Yeah, and I like myself to feel that I'm in the office. I'm getting used to this, don't get me wrong, and I definitely could make this a regular and real thing in my life permanently. But there's something about having an office that also makes you a serious person. I know that businesses are changing, and I know that people are increasingly working from, you know, before the COVID, the coffee shops and wherever else. But there's something about, like, if you're going to meet someone and they're a serious person and you haven't ever met them before, and the first place that you meet them is a coffee shop, and then you find out later they don't actually have a registered office, it's just, it feels like you might be dealing with a fly-by-night. And I know that sounds very judgmental. The reality is, in business, you have to judge who you're going to take on board, right?
Yeah, I hear you.
I think it depends on the industry as well.
Agreed. That's what I was going to say.
Well, now things are very different. So I'm talking about pre-COVID, because if I'd invited you for an interview on my show and we didn't have a studio, which we've had for 6 years, then you might not take me as seriously as someone who's, you know, doing it from their garage or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, people still to this day walk into Cliff Central and they're impressed.
I mean,
I didn't realize this operation was so huge.
Big satellite dishes on the roof, and we've got two studios that are functional, and, you know, it's like a proper setup. It didn't.
And civil looking people working there. Well, I don't know who they expect to see, like strippers.
in the first couple of months, we were
true.
It was a circus. We had Casper De Vries bringing in pole dancers, and we had the sex show and live orgasms on the air, and
animals running all over the place.
There was a live cheetah in the studio in that first couple of months. It's been pretty insane. So yes, I do expect people to walk in with a preconceived idea that we're a raving house of lunatics.
But yes,
I think working from the office still has its merits.
Here's a prime example. I have known a lady who we've done business with a lady who lunches. Yeah. No, I've known her for a couple of years now. We've done some business with her at Cliff Central. Very, you know, professional relationship with her.
You're talking about.
Nice. Yeah. Very good.
I then had a video meeting with her last week sometime. And out of the corner of her screen, I saw some laundry laying on the couch. And then looked over at her laundry basket, which was overflowing, like messily so.
Oh no.
Just that one short encounter has now completely changed how I look at her.
Oh dear.
We need professional settings, in my opinion.
Well, so I've got for a friend. Go ahead, Bulu.
Industry in, you know, for our industry, is we work in an energy industry. So as much as this is awesome that we can do it remotely, but to have Leanne face to face because of her expressions, you know, that comes across, I think, in our voices. To me, in our industry, it's great to have the types of people who come in here. They're very boisterous type of people. If you're a programmer, a banker, you can do that from home. But our industry in particular, it's great to have that energy present and tacit.
Well, I've got...
I don't care who you are.
My sister's an advocate, and so is one of my friends, and they have to do court appearances now via, you know, video conferencing. So this friend of mine, he's actually put up a green cloth behind him, and he projects onto that green cloth using one of these apps, because he's also a gamer, so he knows how to use this stuff. And he projects, like, the courtroom onto the background.
Oh, wow.
So it looks like he's actually in court, which...
That's actually so much fun.
I think that makes a difference. Like, people will take you a little more seriously if your background is serious and you're a lawyer.
Mm. Well, we know what the news does to us. Things and ticker tape and big red writing.
Yeah.
So of course that makes a difference. The visuals of everything you see on TV has been thought through.
If you're sitting in your kitchen, nice as your kitchen might be, And you're pleading your case to a judge as an advocate. And the other guy is sitting in what looks like an actual courtroom because he's got that background. Guess who the judge is taking seriously, even if it's subliminally?
And then you've got the accused from home whose background is a meth lab.
All right, we've got to move on. We've got some headlines, so let's do that immediately. There's a story on...
Forthwith,
exactly. You know, I spoke about him already, but Duncan MacLeod, who is the chief editor of Tech Central, has explained...
And also the Highlander.
That's correct. He's got the surname of the Highlander. There can be only one. He explains a new undersea broadband cable that's going to be built around Africa and the Middle East. Listen to this. This is interesting because it's set to give Africa a massive internet boost, and God almighty, do we not need that.
New undersea broadband cable is...
This is from ENCA.
...around the African continent and the Middle East. The cable will be 37,000 kilometers long and one of the longest in the world. Let's find out exactly what this means now. I'm joined by Chief Editor of Tech Central, Duncan MacLeod. Duncan, thank you very much for joining us. So, essentially, why should you and I be excited?
We should be excited because this is going to bring an enormous amount of capacity to the African continent. There are already many of these cables that run around the continent with names like SAT-3 and WAX and EASY and SEACOM. But this is by far going to be the largest system that's ever been brought to the African continent. They're talking about a capacity, just to get technical for a moment, of 180 terabits per second of internet bandwidth. And some of the biggest companies in the world are behind it, including Facebook, China Mobile, our own Vodacom and MTN, as well as a number of other operators from around the world. So
that's very cool. So that's Duncan MacLeod from Tech Central just talking us through this new cable. And by the way, congratulations to all those people who eventually prevailed over a stupid government decision to ban e-commerce while the lockdown is on, because just yesterday the government had to eat their hat and open up e-commerce. So apparently now you can buy stuff from online retailers and have it delivered.
So yes,
you can buy absolutely anything except
booze and alcohol
and cigarettes.
I mean, yeah. Booze and also, cigarettes, yeah.
We live in South Africa. That's not e-commerce.
Yeah.
Because you might think commerce, this is e-commerce.
Yeah. Don't be shading, Bolelo.
Yeah. Stop being patronizing towards black people.
There's just no reason for you to say that.
Well, I've said it now.
We're horrified with you. All right, so that's the first story that you need to know about this morning. Government has lifted restrictions on online shopping, as I've just mentioned. That's the second thing you need to know, and well done to all the parties who petitioned government to do that. They wouldn't have done it on their own. Ibrahim Patel had the stupid idea that if you let people do e-commerce, it's going to be unfair to those who run shops. I mean, that's like saying that you shouldn't let Uber into the country because it'll be unfair to those, you know, old taxis that stank. So I don't know how people in government are thinking. They clearly are not connected to reality because they don't know. Their lives are so cotton wool. They live
absolutely. That's the thing.
They live in state housing. They get driven around in blue light brigades. They don't know how real life works.
Yeah, they've forgotten.
They're spoilt beyond belief. Someone makes their food for them. They don't have normal lives. They are in this elite bubble where they've just lost touch with ordinary folks. And they think the economy is this made-up thing out there that they can fiddle with. And you know, they'll twist a little here and turn a little there, and they can make it to their design. The economy is bigger and more important and more powerful than you are. And if you mess with it, it can all break. Because
yeah, they're acting like
so
gamers from a different world.
Yeah, exactly. Stupid idiots.
The great failure of government, Gareth, is they are not in the business of innovation, and that's why they keep falling behind.
And they're also not in the business of competition, because they don't understand competition, because they're a monopoly, and they take all the tax money and do with it what they can. They think that's how businesses work. They've got no idea how it works. Anyway, Elon Musk said pretty much the same thing the other day, which I might play for you later if we have some time. Japan has lifted a state of emergency imposed due to the coronavirus in 39 out of 47 prefectures after a sharp fall in new infections. That's good news for Japan. The Prime Minister, Shinzo Abe, or Abe, I can never remember, said Japan's rate of infection had reduced to 1/7.
Goodness me.
1/7 of the country's peak. He urged the public to be vigilant, wear masks, and keep following distancing guidance. If possible, before 31 May, we'd like to lift the state of emergency for other regions as well. So the world is slowly moving out of lockdown, and in some places...
Very good to hear.
In some places too slow, in some places faster, which is, yeah, it as Leanne says, it's very good to hear. And then another business story, one in four U.S. workers is claiming jobless benefits, one in four at the moment. That is frightening, and that means it's going to be even worse over here. The findings brought the total number of new jobless claims to 36 million. This amounts to nearly a quarter of the American workforce.
Thanks.
And most of those people are people who can't work at home and so on. So they may get back to work once lockdowns are lifted, but those jobs may be wiped out permanently. And that's the scary thing, is you don't know how long the tail of this thing is going to be. But that's from Richard Flynn, who's the UK Managing Director at Charles Schwab. Today's unemployment claims continue their epic ascent on a cumulative weekly basis. Not since the Great Depression has the US job market been in such a sorry state. That's what they're saying. Horrible, horrible story. Finally, from CNN, fake news, CNN. They say that tens of thousands under lockdown have been evacuated as Typhoon Vong Fong. How's that for a name?
Jeez, bless you.
Typhoon Vong Fong has just struck the Philippines. So that's a real mess. As if those people don't have enough to deal with, because they're also going through lockdown. The typhoon struck eastern Samar at about noon local time Thursday. It's the first named storm of the 2020 season in the West Pacific. And Vong Fong, which is the name of the storm, packed winds of up to 115 miles an hour, an intensity that makes it equivalent of a Category 3 hurricane. So they've had to evacuate people. Now, lockdown's pretty horrible, but imagine being evacuated because there's a typhoon heading your way. Not great, huh?
Suboptimal.
Suboptimal, to say the least. Well, our economy may be suboptimal at the moment, but that does not mean that there aren't opportunities for you to make some money and to invest carefully and cleverly. And we've spoken about this before. The world is definitely changing around you, whether you like it or not. Your investments should be changing too. And if they aren't, you need to ask yourself why not. So in a market that we haven't ever experienced before, you don't need to guess, you need to diversify. That's what all the smart people are saying. And we've spoken to Sean Saunders a couple of times. I'm delighted he's back on this morning. We were meant to talk to him yesterday, but they've got some exciting things they want to tell us about today. Revix, his business, and a business that's now been around for a year. Revix is an intelligent investment platform that allows anyone, including you, anywhere to build a diversified portfolio or bundle of assets in just a few clicks. They started off with cryptocurrency. They now offer their new Pax Gold risk-free. Well, they did offer a risk-free promotion. We'll find out from Sean what's going on with gold. And many other interesting products which you might want to have a look at. If you haven't registered at Revix yet, maybe Sean can convince you. How are you doing, Sean Saunders?
Good morning, Gareth. Yeah, good. Thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, good. It's been a great week for crypto, huh?
Yeah, I mean, over what, the last 30 days, most cryptocurrencies are up over 40%. It's feeling really good. I mean, the entire market's got a lot of optimism at the moment. I mean, the prices aren't going to continue to rise forever.
No.
But, I mean, you're seeing a lot of money move into the space, and it's a really small asset class, so it still has a really long way it can go.
So, Sean, is this as a result of that Bitcoin halving that you spoke about the other day?
So, yeah, I think that's part of the story. I mean, that's more of the media part of the story. I think what's really going on behind the scenes is you had one of the legendary hedge fund investors, individual by the name of Paul Tudor Jones. Yeah. He came out this last week, and he said that he's got between 1% to 2% of his wealth in Bitcoin. Now, what's really interesting is this guy never owned any Bitcoin before this whole COVID outbreak. So he's referred to Bitcoin now and its position in your portfolio as kind of how gold would be in the 1970s before you had mass inflation.
You spoke about this. You see, I do listen to you. You said to us last time we spoke that this is really a hedge against governments printing money.
And that's exactly what Bitcoin is. And I think people don't really understand just how much money is being printed. I mean, I'm going to throw some figures out here. And this blew my mind when I read them.
Yeah.
So by the end of this year, the world central banks will have printed $5.3 trillion. So 5.3 trillion with a T, right? Now that's kind of just a really big number, more zeros than most people can count. And why do they print money? Well, you know, you want to be able to provide stimulus checks to individuals. So you want to be able to give somebody some money, and whether that's through tax relief, whether that is through a direct payment into their bank account, whatever it may be, you're wanting to help people or businesses in the economy, and that's why they print money. So here's some ridiculous stats. So all the gold in the world comes to about, in today's prices, is about $10.5 trillion. So...
So this is half the amount of gold. If we were all on the gold standard, we would have used up half of the available gold in the world in printed money right now.
In 1 year's worth of printed money.
That's unreal.
Now that's insane. So that's just a crazy fact. I'm going to throw this out there, which is really going to blow a lot of South African minds. I mean, I'm still looking at this going, surely this can't be right. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the South African economy, I mean, we're 4.3 trillion rand economy.
Yeah.
$40 billion economy, and that's with quite a generous exchange rate. So that means that the world central banks are printing 44 times the amount of money than what we produce in a single year. So it would take the South African government 44 years to repay back the amount of money that's been printed this year alone, and that's if there's no interest included in the funds. So how's that?
Well, that is frightening. It means that if you have kids... your kids and grandkids might still be paying back the money that we're borrowing right now as a country. And that's not good, right, Sean? I mean, we know what hyperinflation does. You just need to look at Zimbabwe or Venezuela to see how detrimental that can be to economies and how it devalues people's assets, property, the stock market in some cases, although not all, other assets that they may have. It devalues businesses. All of that stuff goes down the tubes when people are hyperinflating.
Exactly. So you need hard assets. And, I mean, our view of cryptocurrency is that it is a great speculation, if I can call it that, which means that you shouldn't have, you know, all your investment funds just in crypto. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Don't listen to the people that are saying, listen, this is going to the moon. Put your life savings into it. You'll be a billionaire in 3 years' time. No, don't do that. So we're saying that there is a very good chance that this will increase in value over time. But we actually just don't know. Over the next 12 months, Bitcoin could go from where it is today around, you know, $9,500. It could go to $50,000. It could go to $5,000. That's kind of the bet you're taking when you're investing in crypto. But the idea that all of a sudden Bitcoin or Litecoin or Ethereum or one of these cryptocurrencies actually becomes a real store of value and a way that people move value around the world doesn't seem so crazy. Yeah. And I mean, a lot of people look at this being like, what on earth are you talking about? But global central banks are printing so much money that there is going to be a global debasement of fiat currency. And if you had to say to somebody 30 years ago, you know, some random stranger is going to be renting your house and you're going to be paid for that, or perhaps you're going to be walking around with this mobile device that you're going to be interacting with people with on a daily basis, they would say you're crazy. So I think 10 or 20 years, we've got this trend of digitization that's taking place. I mean, I think it doesn't make, you know, it's not too much of a stretch to really imagine a space in society where crypto is a lot more mainstream.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it would take very little convincing to make people aware of that singular fact. And the sooner you do it, you just stake your claim, however small it might be, the better for you in the long run. And you just sit on it. You don't look at that day-to-day price going up and down because that'll drive you mad, right?
Exactly. So we have a long-term approach. I mean, we've actually, it's been quite challenging, to be honest, because Revex is a long-term investing platform and we're playing in the space predominantly with crypto. I mean, we are moving into other sectors, but predominantly in crypto where people want to trade it. People want to come in. They want to make a quick buck. They want to sell out in 2 to 3 days with a 20% or 50% return. And we say to every single customer, no, please don't try to time this market. You may as well just go to the casino, put it on black, and then walk away. This is a very different sort of investment opportunity. You need to remember, if you put in, as an example, we have a minimum investment amount of 500 Rand. You could put in 500 Rand. That 500 Rand, in the absolute worst case, could go to zero. And it could go to zero just the same way as, you know, a Nasdaq share could go to zero, a Woolworth share could go to zero.
Right.
It could increase in value 2, 3, 4, or 5 times. And you know what? If this actually does become something that's a lot more mainstream, you're not looking at just a 5 or 10x return. You're looking at potentially a 100 or 500 or 1,000 times return.
Wow.
I mean, I spoke earlier about just the size of the gold market being at 10.5 trillion. I mean, the entire crypto market is sitting at 260 billion. So how many times over have you printed the crypto market just since the start of the year? It's crazy.
Yeah, what I love about these catch-ups that we've been doing with you again is that it not only gives us a basic idea of some economic fundamentals, but it makes people think a little bit about their own situation and whether or not they've got some mechanisms in place to protect the value that they might have spent years and years building up. I mean, even if you're someone who's just saved a little bit of money every month, when these governments go and print money, they're effectively devaluing your savings. And you need to find ways to make yourself independent of the vagaries of this market, or at very least, to hedge yourself against some pretty ugly movements left and right.
Yeah, and the other thing I think people really battle with is that you may hold on to 100 Rand, and that 100 Rand will be still 100 Rand in a year's time, or maybe 100 Rand a year after that. But what you're not seeing is that the South African Rand has a functional debasement on an annual basis, or an annual depreciation of about 4.5%, which is our inflation rate. So whatever our inflation rate is, there's more rands coming into circulation, your currency's purchasing value is worth less. And that's what you have to understand, because you're not seeing it. You don't see it as in the number in your bank account. Right. You see it just when you go to the shops and you can buy less and less and less, and it's a slow drip rather than something that's in your face and happens just all of a sudden.
So I believe you're launching a new Pax Gold risk-free promotion. Tell me about that, because that's why we delayed our little report back with you until today. So tell me what's going down.
Sure. So we've had a fantastic month. We've had the best month, which actually makes me feel really bad to say, because a lot of businesses are battling at the moment. But we've had just an incredible month in terms of new users signing up. We've had some really big money come into our platform, which is fantastic. And what we're seeing is a lot of people are interested in crypto and they're really interested in gold, but people aren't looking at gold as the small-time investment opportunity. They're not investing, you know, 2,000 or 10,000 Rand in gold. They're looking to invest 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 million, which is their entire kind of portfolio in gold. And what we're saying is maybe, again, just the same way with crypto or any other investment option, rather put in a small amount in gold. So we said, well, listen, let's actually, you know, launch a promotion that gives you exposure to gold. So this is how it works. I'll actually go through this step by step. So you head over to our website, which is www.revix.com.
Gotcha.
You click the sign up page. In the promotional text box there, you'll just type in the promotional code GOLD, G-O-L-D. Mm-hmm. Then if you invest between 2,000 and 10,000 Rand, you'll receive 1 week of risk-free investing. So 1 week, great. 1 week where you can make money. If your investment goes up in value, fantastic, you keep it. If it declines in value over that 1 week, we'll pay you back the amount that it's declined, so you're back to your initial amount. Right. But that's not all. So that's just the nice introductory offer. After this, if you invite friends and family to join Revix, you can get up to an additional 5 weeks of completely risk-free investing. So in total, you could get 6 weeks risk-free investing if you invite 5 people to join the platform. Now, all 5 people would need to deposit our minimum amount, which would be 2,000 Rand. But should they do that, you could have 6 weeks of risk-free investing, which, you know, in this sort of environment, we think is just a damn no-brainer, and you should be going ahead and doing it. Now, obviously, you must make sure that you read the terms and conditions before doing this, but it's really just that simple. Just make sure you sign up with the promo code GOLD.
I love it.
When you go ahead and do this.
I love it, and it is probably the easiest way to get your hands on some gold and expose yourself to it. Find out where your money is. If you've got any that you need to invest in something, it might be worth taking a little bit and putting it into this. It's certainly a good start. All right, Sean, that's amazing. Thank you very much for a terrific update. You also helped to clarify in our minds exactly what the big picture looks like, so it's very useful to us all. And have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gareth. Yeah, you too. Have a great Friday. Have an awesome weekend. Chat to you soon.
Very nice. So there it is. That's Sean Sanders. In a market that we've never seen before, don't guess, diversify. Revix allows you to effortlessly own a diverse portfolio of the world's top cryptocurrencies, which include now Pax Gold. Automatically stays up to date with the ever-changing market. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as Revix Invest. And you can sign up for free today. And you just heard about that new promotion from Sean. So if you want to go on and bring some people with you, you get, I mean, weeks of risk-free investment. Go and take a look at Revix.com. Awesome.
I'm so happy for him.
Yeah, I'm so glad that he's doing well, because
yes,
we need good news in a market like this. And there are places that are doing well. And there are going to be people. Let me tell you something. The people who manage to stay afloat during a downturn, a recession like this, are going to become very wealthy in the long run.
But it's well, it's like building up an immunity, isn't it?
Correct, but it's also like if you can survive the hard times, the upside is just incredible. All the biggest companies in the world, all the most wealthy individuals in the world, they made it through the rain.
And also, I think, you know, I know at the risk of sounding tone deaf, but to see somebody take a risk in a time where it was tough and for it to work out for him, I mean, I understand it's tough for some of us, but I'm so happy for him. Like, yeah. Thank you for taking the risk, and it's inspirational.
It damn well is.
I'm so happy for you, Sean.
And I'm so proud of myself.
How come, Sia? Why is this all about you suddenly, Sia? Tell us why.
Because, Gareth, you made the reference to making it through the rain, and I didn't sing the Mariah Carey song.
Oh,
yeah.
I can make it through the rain. I can see yes.
So you congratulate yourself on not doing something which you then do.
No, I feel like you guys didn't know this song, so I had to just, you know, give you that reference.
We were doing so well this morning. We were having such a nice time.
Incredible.
On my own, and I know that I'm strong enough.
All right. Well, we've got some news stories with Leanne just now. We'll talk a little bit about the lockdown shopping update and what we can expect our childless colleagues to do during lockdown and the pandemic. They might be working more than the people who have children. So we'll speak about that, as well as OnlyFans, which is slowly becoming the most fast-growing part of the sex industry. We'll talk about that too, Leanne.
Whip,
yeah, Leanne's got loads of info for us, so stick around. It's going to be a very busy morning, and we're here to keep you company, look after you, and talk some nonsense, which we're really good at, especially on a Friday. Talking nonsense is our thing. It's what we do. But if you don't want to talk nonsense, you can go and listen to The Burning Platform from yesterday with Franz Kronier. Wow. Bumper episode. This guy has to be one of the most informed, well-researched, well-read, and eloquent explainers of what's going on around us. And you need to listen to that Burning Platform and pass it around to people who are confused, because we're all looking for answers at the moment. And Franz really has the big picture in mind. He's a strategic thinker of the highest order. You need to listen to that. You also need to listen to Reg Lascaris, who we spoke to earlier this week, who spoke about marketing. And we may be launching a little marketing show with Reg too. So if you're interested in that, you can email me. Yes, Gareth at CliffCentral.com. Very busy times. Gareth at CliffCentral.com. Let me know what you're up to. And we'll get to your messages next. It's all happening, baby. CliffCentral.com.